In our last session, we spoke of Paul's suffering. He records that he prayed for relief from a health problem. In Corinthians 12:7, he writes, "A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me from being too elated. I besought the Lord about this, that it should leave me. He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness.'" We don't know what the ailment was that plagued Paul, but it seems that it did pain him constantly. Why didn't God give Paul his heart's desire? Surely he could have used a strong, healthy Paul rather than one beset by illness. Paul could have rebelled against God, becoming angry and abandoned his faith. Constant pain has made other people do so. We don't know exactly why God didn't heal Paul, but we do know that his faith did not waver and that his reward was great. We also know that his faith in the face of great trials is an example and lesson for us. Could that be one of God's reasons? To be an example and encouragement to us? If Paul had had an easy life, we could say, well, it's all right for Paul to have faith. He was specially favoured by God and free from trouble. Why wouldn't he have faith? Remember that this was the accusation that Satan levelled against Job, that he was faithful to God because he had all God's favour showered upon him. There are some basic and logical reasons why we would not expect all Christians to be healed on all occasions. If this were the case, people would want to be Christians for the wrong reasons. Being a Christian is not an insurance policy against suffering or for a long life. We know this to be so, and that it will not be different until we are in paradise with the Lord. And as we know it to be so, it seems to me that we should not pray as if it were different. It is not logical to pray this way. It is not fair to ourselves, and it is not fair to God. Let us pray as Jesus prayed, to pray for what we want, but above all to pray for God's will to be done. No child of God will ever want to pray in any other way. It stands to reason, if we don't want God's will in our lives, we don't trust God to do the best for us. Either that, or we want less than the best. God has made a perfect provision for us. His perfect will is available to us at all times, but we need to accept His will and to adapt to it in our prayers. The Holy Spirit helps us to do this. We need to remember always that our main purpose in life is to glorify God, not to avoid suffering. As suffering is clearly a fact of life, the important consideration to the Christian is what our attitude is to be towards our suffering and the suffering of our dear ones. It is most important that we put suffering into an eternal perspective. The great lesson we learn from the suffering of the prophets, apostles and martyrs is that through Christ we are conquerors of suffering and death. And there is a very practical way in which we can put suffering into an eternal perspective. Paul wrote in Romans 8:18, "The sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Now we know that those who believe in Christ have eternal life, a fact which God has stated many times in the Bible. In John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life." I think you will agree that eternity is a very, very long time. If God were to offer us a life on this earth with 1 hour of suffering in the whole of life's span, we would consider that a very fair deal. But God is offering us an even fairer deal than that. God offers us, through belief in Christ, an eternity in which we live this life with some suffering in it. When we see the suffering of this life in that eternal perspective, we can agree with Paul, and we can begin to see that there are reasons for our suffering. And we will discuss these reasons in our next session.